I take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 22. Last Sunday night we preached a message on some twice called or twice spoken words, and I knew there was quite a few in the scripture. I have done some work on these before and I may have used some of these things before, but I thought, well, we'll just go ahead and take a few weeks and study these verses of Scripture where the names are used two times, sometimes in a passage or sometimes right together. Last week we dealt with the three times that the words are used, and we called it the double call of sorrows. We found that those that had lived their life thinking they were all right with the Lord came to the point of saying, "Lord, Lord, did we not?" What a terrible condition and place for a person to find themselves, to think that they have lived for God and they've cast out demons and they've done all those wonderful works, but yet they came to find out that the Lord didn't know them. And they say, "Lord, Lord, did we not do these things?" Then we looked at the Lord looking over the city of Jerusalem. And He said those words, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you." And there we find the Lord Jesus Christ weeping over His city. And those that had the prophets, they had the scriptures, that had the many things offered to them as His people. And He said, "I would have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chickens, but you would not." And He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, what a sorrowful state of affairs that is." And then as the Lord was there upon the cross of Calvary, the sins of the world was placed upon Him, the darkness filled this earth, He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And those are the three things that we used last Sunday night and dealt with this thing of sorrows. Tonight, I'm going to use in the book of Genesis, chapter number 22, and if you are already there, you know probably what this passage is, maybe knew before you even got there. This is the offering of Isaac, of Abraham. Well, let's begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down through a few verses here. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar of wood, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, offered him upon the burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide. We find tonight in these verses of Scripture, down through these many verses, we have read concerning the account of Abraham being called of the Lord to do a spectacular thing. It is something that those of us that are parents, we look at and say, I don't know if I could do that or not. To take your only child, and in this case his only son, and to be told of the Lord, to go to a place that I shall tell you, and I want you to offer him upon the altar of sacrifice. Tonight we deal with that sacrifice that became a reality to Abraham. Abraham was a man that God had chosen, God had used, and God had blessed. And we know the story how Isaac came about and the being a miracle birth of Abraham and Sarah in their old age, and how that Isaac is a perfect picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ being born of a miracle. And now we find that the Lord has identified Isaac as Abraham's only son. Now we know that Abraham had another son. His name was Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the one that was to be chosen. Ishmael was not the son of Abraham and Sarah. It was the son of Abraham and Hagar. And they got ahead of God and said, if we're going to have a child and if we're going to have someone to carry on and to do what God said, for you see, God had promised Abraham that he'd give him a child, give him a son. And so Abraham got and Sarah got a little worried about things were not going as it should, and so they got ahead of God and said, well, we'll do it this way. And of course, Ishmael was a result of that, and Ishmael was a problem to Abraham then. Ishmael's a problem to Abraham's people now. The Ishmaelites are those that are dealing in the Middle East right now. Those are the offsprings of the children of Abraham. When the folks in the Middle East say that they are also the children of Abraham, they're telling the truth. They are. But they're out of that line that was not accepted of the Lord. They're out of the line of Ishmael and the one of Hagar, the handmaid. And they're the wild side of Abraham and continually are wild. But God has chosen Isaac, and he's that promised seed. And I'm sure that when that message came to Abraham, I'm sure that there must have been questions. The Bible doesn't tell us any, and there may not have been any, knowing Abraham's demeanor and his faith. But just thinking about our own personal selves, I can think of that there probably might have been some questions as to why or to how or how is this going to come to pass? How is it going to happen? And I believe Abraham got some things settled with the Lord, because when he told those two young men with him, he said, I and the lad are going to go yonder, but we're going to come back. The Lord had given him some insight to what was going to take place. And there was a requirement here for Abraham to be obedient unto the Lord. We find in this verse, it says, the Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. In these verses we read tonight, I think there's three times that Abraham said, here I am, or here am I. And just showing his availability and really and truly his obedience unto the Lord. In verse number 18, we did not read down to this, but in verse number 18 of this same chapter, we find that the Lord tells Abraham, says, in thy seed, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Notice here why. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. We might want to call this blind obedience. This might be the requirement for the sacrifice that was to come. Abraham responded here in verse number 3, and he rose up in the morning and he took that little donkey and took that ass, and they traveled to the place where the Lord was going to tell him to go. So Abraham responded to the call of God. Abraham responded to this this term or this call that God gave to him, and he said, here I am. I believe every one of us tonight ought to have that help in our heart and our life, that we would say, Lord, I'm here. I'm available. I want you to bless me. I want you to help me. But you know, before God can do that, there's going to have to be some obedience on our part. Abraham would have never been blessed if he had not been obedient unto the Lord. Abraham would have never been a blessing. And as verse 18 says, all the nations of the earth have been blessed because of Abraham's obedience and his faith. You and I tonight, we have been blessed because Abraham was obedient. Every nation has been blessed because through Abraham's seed came the wonderful, beloved Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the world has been blessed because of Him. So when Abraham got this call from the Lord, and he just simply says, "Here I am," I'm not sure he understood all that he was saying when he said, "I'm available." He responded, and when God told him what to do, "Take now thy son, thy only son." Notice that God puts that emphasis there. He's your only son. Isaac is the only one that God recognizes. "Take thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of." So here we find God giving the command, and Abraham responds in verse number 3, and just simply he rose up early in the morning and he went that direction. Just upon the message of God, just upon the call that God had given him, he responds to that immediate action and willingness to do what God had told him to do. "Take thy son, thy only son." Now Abraham knows what the task is. God reveals to him, now here's what you are to do. You are to take your son and offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. God didn't even tell him for sure where he was going. That's not the first time that's happened in Abraham's life. When God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he didn't know where he was going to call him, didn't know where he was going. He just went because God told him to go. And so Abraham has a good reputation here of just following the Lord. And because of that obedience and because of that following and because of the willingness, we find that all the nations of the earth have been certainly blessed. Abraham responded, and his reaction was that he just believed what God told him and he went about his business to do that. Abraham reverenced the Lord. In verse number 5, he said, Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again." We're going to go worship. You stay here, Isaac and I, we're going to go a little farther, and we're going to go worship, but you be sure we're going to come again. And Abraham had in his mind that God said, offer sacrifice. Abraham knew what that was. Abraham realized what it was, but we're talking about now a call to sacrifice. It's a call to be willing to give everything for the cause of our Lord. It's a call that would even maybe make us question as to why the Lord would do this or what purpose is this. But Abraham reverenced the Lord and he had an intimate relationship with God, and he said, "We're going to go yonder and we're going to worship." I dealt a little bit this morning with this thing of worship. It's that inwardness that we have of our presence of the Lord, and we worship Him. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And by the way, this is the first time you'll find the word worship in the Scripture. In Abraham's obedience, he said, "We're going to go worship. We're going to go follow the direction that God gives, and I have an association with God, and I believe God. And so you two fellas, you stay here. Isaac and I, we're going to go farther. We're going to go over yonder, and we're going to worship. We're going to come again." What a wonderful thought that is. But that's the requirement here for his sacrifice. He had to have obedience. You and I tonight, before we ever amount to anything for God, we have to be obedient. We have to be willing to say yes to the Lord. We have to be willing to say, "God, whatever it is in my life that you want to take and mold it." You know, there are times that God will take things out of our life so that we can be obedient to Him. There are times that God will place things into our lives, some good things and some hard things, so that we can be obedient unto Him. God will place those things in our pathway sometimes just to help us to have that obedience that we can be blessed of God and then to bless others. The requirement of sacrifice is obedience. The requirement tonight for you and I, if we're going to ever do anything for the Lord that amounts to anything, we've got to be obedient. Oh, do we have to be obedient to the preacher? No, not really. Preacher may be wrong. But we do have to be obedient to this book. This book's never wrong. This book tells us truth. This book gives us direction. Do we have to be obedient to other people? No. Unless they're right with God, then you ought to be obedient and have that understanding. But first and foremost, we have to be obedient to the Lord through the Word of God, through the Scripture that we hold very dear in our heart and life. So the requirement for this call to sacrifice is one of blind obedience. And we can call it blind obedience because he didn't know where he was going. He knew what he was going to do when he got there, but he wasn't sure where it was going to be. And when he even left those two young men there, he said, "We're just going to go yonder. We're just going to go there, and we're going to worship, and we're going to come again." And so we find that's the requirement. Number two, there is a revelation of sacrifice. I believe God always lets us know what He wants us to do. Sometimes we are hard-headed and don't want to know it. Sometimes we have deafened ears that we don't want to hear it. But I believe God wants us to know what He wants us to do. I had a professor in college that told us, because there was a time season there and sometimes at the college that some of them were just struggling with what to do, and they were going back and forth on the will of God and what could it be and how can it be. And so I had a professor that I loved very dearly in the ministry and thanked him for all the things that he gave unto us. And he just simply said, "Fellas, God wants to give you His will more than you want to find it." And I believe that's true. God desires that Don Fitch knows the will of God. God wants Lawrence Richardson to know the will of God. And God wants you put your name there. He wants you to know the will of God. And sometimes we do struggle with it, but it's not God's fault. But He gives us a revelation of sacrifice. And here tonight we find that the Lord told Abraham exactly what he was to do. He tells him in verse number 2, "Take now thy son, whom thou lovest, and offer him there for a burnt offering." God revealed His will to Abraham. It wasn't a hidden will. It wasn't something fogged over that we couldn't find out the truth. It was something that was sort of clouded over. But God said, "Hey, Abraham, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your only son, that son that you love dearly, and I want you to take him as a burnt offering and sacrifice him in a place that I shall show you." That's the revelation. I would have shuddered if I'd been Abraham. What would you think if God came to you and said, "I want you to offer your child"? What would you think if God said, "That child, boy or girl, is mine. I want to do with it as I please"? You know what? God can do that. For they are His children. Hannah said, "Lord, let me have a man-child and I'll lend him back to you. I'll give him." We find that there's that offering and revelation of the sacrifice. And just as the first point was blind obedience, this is the best offering that could be. Isaac is the sacrifice. Isaac is now going to be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And buddy, that's the best there could be. We find in verse number 9, he says, "And they came to the place which God had told him of." Abraham knew when he got there. Abraham knew what was going to take place. And so they came to the place that God told him, and Abraham built an altar there. I've got that word "there" underlined. There wasn't any other place that would be fit and set for the offering. God has a place for us. God has a place in time for us. God has a place of service for us. And God said, "Abraham, you go to a place and I'll tell you while you're traveling. I'll reveal it to you." And when he got there, he knew. And as soon as he knew, he built an altar right there. I sort of believe I know what later on that place was. I believe Mount Moriah became Mount Calvary. And there, as Isaac was offered, not only in type, but in reality, in the heart of Abraham, we have centuries later the Lord Jesus Christ being offered His Son, His only Son, His beloved Son, to to that place called Calvary. Oh, it's an unspeakable cost. What's the cost of a child? And when we say child, this Isaac was a young man. He wasn't a little boy. He was a young man of age. But what's the cost? It's an unspeakable cost. Here we find in verse number 9 that the Bible says that Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Here we find that Abraham takes the wood, he puts it in order. Wood is always speaks of sin, a burden. And there he lays his only son. He lays him there to sacrifice. Turn over to the book of Isaiah just for a moment. Isaiah chapter, you can guess, 53. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The burden of sin, the blackness and the darkness and the ungodliness of mankind was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaac now is a type of the Lord being placed upon that altar of sacrifice. And that's the best offering there could have been. Unquestionable commitment here that Abraham has. And Abram stretched forth his hand. And the Bible says there that he took the knife to slay his son. My, here we find the revelation has been given to Abraham, and now Abraham once again shows commitment to the Lord, and he takes that knife and he stretches forth his hand, and he's going to do what God told him to do. You say, how do you know that? Well, read the book of Hebrews. Abraham believed if God permitted him to kill his son, that God would raise him from the dead. And really, in the mind of Abraham, there was a resurrection. He counted him as dead. Unquestionable commitment that Abraham had to the Lord. Unshakable confidence. Buddy, when you have confidence in something, you can just do what's supposed to be done. If we have confidence in the Word of God, we can rest upon His Word. If we have confidence on the promises of the Lord, we can rest upon His promises. As the old song says in our hymn book, standing on the promises. We can stand upon them. We can rest upon them. We can lay upon them because the promises of God are forever settled and they'll never be broken. And they're given to us so that our faith might be manifest and built up in our life. So Abraham, unquestionable commitment and unshakable confidence. Let's turn over to Hebrews and read that passage of Scripture. I quoted just a little bit of it, but let's read it tonight in Hebrews chapter number 11, the great chapter on the heroes of the faith. I've got it written above Hebrews chapter 11, God's Hall of Fame. God's Hall of Faith. And here in the midst of it is the man called Abraham. The Bible tells us in chapter 11, verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered, that's past tense. As far as Abraham was concerned, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abraham had the promises of God. God said, Abraham, in this boy Isaac, every nation is going to be blessed. Every promise of God is going to be fulfilled. Abraham had been given that promise from God long time before they went to this place. And God believed Abraham. Abraham believed God. And the Scripture says here that of whom it was said, Isaac, in Isaac shall all thy seed be called. Well, the people of Israel are called the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Abraham had this promise. Now verse number 19. Accounting. the word accounting there. He put it to the account, to the understanding that God was able. You ought to underline that. God was able. And you know what? If God was able, God is able. Praise the Lord, right now, present tense, 2011, God is able. Just as able as He was when Abraham went to Mount Moriah. He had an unshakable confidence in his God. Counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. He believed God. Praise the Lord. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him, put on his account, for righteousness. Abraham was a righteous man, but he was called to sacrifice. You think this was an enjoyable time? Not on your life. It wasn't enjoyable for Abraham to have to do this and not knowing the end result, but he believed that if God permitted him to kill, he would raise him from the dead. And so therefore, Abraham said, all right, I'll do what God says. I will sacrifice the best offering, my only son. And then thirdly and lastly tonight, it's found in verse number 16, we find the reward. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 16, well, let's look in verse 15. We'll read them together. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. What a promise. What a wonderful promise. Here is the reward or the blessed things that are overflowed unto Abraham. The reward of his sacrifice, the product of it was that God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I like the blessings of the Lord. I like for God to smile upon our church. I like for God to smile upon our families. I like for God to rejoice with us. And the product of that is God said, I will bless thee and I will multiply thy seed. He tells us there in verse 17, I will bless thee and I will multiply. And here's how I'm going to multiply. Here's how I'm going to bless you. Your blessing is going to be as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the sea. That's a heavenly crowd and an earthly crowd. I'm glad I'm in one of those. I'm not of the earthly crowd. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. Paul tells us that we have been grafted in to receive the blessings of the Lord because the Jew has rejected the Lord. And so we've been put in their place and we have blessings, but we're still Gentiles. I'm just not a Jew. Jews have been mocked and ridiculed time and time again. Jews have been killed and destroyed and run out of their country and out of their homeland. They have been taken and murdered. You know the story of the Holocaust. And then you have that idiot over in Iran that says it never did happen. History tells us what happened. And they would take those Jews and herd them like cattle into a boxcar and take them off to Auschwitz or some other place. And they'd tell them to go into these shower rooms and to clean up. And what came out of the shower head was nothing but deadly gas. They'd take their bodies and they would either bury them in a mass grave or they would put them and render them out. And they had what they called Jew soap. All you got to do is read history. And the Jew's been a hated person, a hated nation. But God said, Abraham, your seed is going to be like the sand of the seashore. They're still alive and vibrant and well tonight. And I'll tell you what, probably most of the Middle East shudder and shake at the thought of Israel attacking them. That's the sand of the sea. Oh, but there's another promise here. He said, Abraham, I'll make your seed as the stars of the sky. That's a heavenly seed. I may not be a Jew in this world and in this life, but I'm of the heavenly seed of Abraham. By faith believing and accounting unto myself that I've been made righteous through the shed blood of not Isaac, but the Son of God, whom he portrayed and who he was a type of. And there we find the product of this sacrifice was blessing the Abraham and multiplying and offering himself to all others. And the power of the sacrifice is thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Why, Abraham, you're going to be all right. Your son's going to be all right. And by the way, you're going to be blessed physically and spiritually. And your seed is going to possess the gate of your enemy. That means they're not going to prevail over you. Ooh, what a blessing. How did that happen? Why did that happen? Because Abraham was faithful. Abraham, the Scripture says there in verse number 11. Abraham, and he said, here am I. And this is after all the incident. This is after he's put his son there on the altar and the angel of the Lord, whom was none other than God Himself, and says, Abraham, and Abraham said, I'm here. I've always been willing. I've always been able. And God, here I am. And he said, don't do your son any harm. There's a ram caught over there in the thicket. Thank God for the blessings of the Lord and answered prayer. The product of the sacrifice is to be blessed and multiplied. The power of it is that they would possess the gate of the enemy. But the proof of it is found in verse 18 and 19, where we read a moment ago, and in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed. Verse 19, so Abraham returned to his young men. What did he tell him? He said, I and the lad, we're going to go worship, but we'll come back. And so Abraham returns to his young men, and they rose up, and they went unto Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. The proof of sacrifice, God says in verse number 12, He says, now I know. Look at verse 12. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham, I know you're real. Boy, may God be able to say that to us. I know you're real. How's that going to happen? We're going to have to say, here I am. And when we say, here I am, there may be some hard knocks and hard ways and difficult days ahead. But we have the promise of God that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's told us that He'll always be there. He'll never cast us out. And so when it's all said and done, God said, Abraham, now I know. He tried this man called Abraham. And God said, now I know he's real. Oh, may God help us tonight for the Lord to know that we are real. Now, a lot of people like to prove they're real by what they do. They like to prove they're real by their ideas. They try to prove to their friends and family that they're really for God. But you know what really makes a person know that another person's real? Is by our obedience to the Lord. Come what may, whatever happens, we're just going to be obedient. Troubles, tears, heartaches, sorrows, sacrifices. They all come. But we never know who's around the corner watching us with an eye and saying, does he really believe what he says he believes? I'll tell you what, Abraham proved that he believed what he said. But it took a hardship. It took a sacrifice. It took a time in Abraham's life that he said, I'm just going to do what God said. I don't know where I'm going. And I'm sure Abraham may have said, I've been here before and I've done this before and God took care of it. So I'm just going to do it again. He says, go and I'll show you. And when he got to the place, he worshiped the Lord. And God said, now Abraham, lay down the wood, put your son on it, and offer him. And Abraham did exactly as God told him. He put it in order. I believe God ordered it away a certain way. And Isaac asked that question as they went to that place. He said, Father, here's the wood. Here's the wood for the sacrifice. They carried the fire with them, the hot coals. And Isaac said, here's the fire. But Father, where's the sacrifice? Isaac didn't have any understanding of what was taking place at that time. And Abraham gave back those words that have echoed down through all the centuries of time, and I believe will echo throughout all eternity. It happened one day on Calvary. And we will bless His name throughout all eternity for what He did. But Abraham cried out to his son, my son, God will provide Himself a sacrifice. Now that just simply means God is going to be the sacrifice. And one day on Mount Calvary, praise the Lord. And I believe is the same location. There on Mount Calvary, hundreds of years after Mount Moriah, where Abraham said, God will provide Himself a lamb. God did. God provided. Oh, thank the Lord this morning, or this afternoon, tonight, we're going to heaven. We're going to that place they sang about. That homecoming. That day we're going to meet the Lord. That day we're going to meet our loved ones and our family. Every one of us in this building have someone on the other side. If we don't have, we will have before long. And all because of the faithfulness of the Son of God, the Isaac of the Lord, dying upon Calvary's tree, I'm going home. Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. This was a call to sacrifice. Are we willing to take that call? Are we willing to say, God, help me. Lord, help me to be what I should be. Help me, God, to just serve You and to honor You. Help me, Lord, to be right until I do go home. I believe soon and very soon we shall see the King. We're going to look upon His face. We're going to see Him. He who purchased us with His own blood. He that died on Mount Moriah, Mount Calvary. One day we'll see Him. And may He say, well done, thou good, faithful servant. I believe Abraham heard those words. Well done, Abraham. You believed me. You trusted me. You followed me. You believed that if I permitted you to kill your son, that I'd raise him from the dead. And you know what? If Abraham had killed Isaac, God would have raised him from the dead. He did that in type anyway. Thank God one day we're going home because of the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah. We may have that call. The Lord may come to us sometime in the midst of the night and say, name, name. And we may lay there and wonder, what's this about? He calls our name, and we, in that still small voice, we don't hear audible voices as Abraham did. But we do have the voice of God in our heart. And all of a sudden we wonder, what does God want from me? Sometimes I wake up in the early morning of the hours and I have a message on my mind. I used to go back to sleep and could write it down when I got up. Now I just better write it down while I'm awake. If I don't, I won't. And sometimes I get up and write down those things I'm thinking about. Devil knows how to rob stuff. Sometimes we lay there and wonder, why am I awake? Why has God not given me rest? And just begin to pray and begin to ask God, what are You trying to do? What attention are You trying to get? And God could say our name. Are we willing to say, here I am. I'm here, Lord. You give me further orders and I'll just do what You say. That was Abraham's response. That was Abraham's life. And God blessed him. Not only him, but He's blessed you and I because of the faith of Abraham. Could y'all sing us one more song? You can repeat that one going home if you want to.